So I'm back from a trip to Western Iowa, where we'd get up at 6:30 in the morning, have breakfast, and then for myself, I was out on the Winnebago Reservation doing yard work in 95-degree heat as part of what we called Team Sucker. Because there are these, and we sure were, because those are those trees that grew up along the foundation. Nobody's out doing yard work in 95-degree heat, but we were, in the name of Jesus, right? So we sweat a lot. We drank a lot of water in the name of Jesus, too. We got cranky in the name of Jesus, I think, once in a while. But it was an incredible trip. And some others painted fire hydrants. Corey was on the demolition team with Derek. You can ask them about that and about sledgehammers and walls. Lots of fun. But then you get back to the dinner spot at the church where we stayed, and then you have worship and you have small groups, and then you play a game called Nine Square until 11 at night. And then some people talk and pass notes until 11:30 or midnight. I won't name names. It wasn't in my room, so I didn't have to worry about it. And then you get up the next day and you do it again. And then the coordinator of the project said to me, So Dan, you're headed back? Yeah, I can preach tomorrow. He said, really? I said, yeah, guess what I'm preaching about? Sabbath. He laughed. Yeah, some of us might want to sleep the whole afternoon, McKenna. Hopefully you got enough sleep last night. But these are things we all need. We need rest. Because Sabbath, even after a week of service or after whatever week you had, which was probably pretty busy, you had lots of things to do, you had lots of work to do, appointments to keep, people to see, things to forget. But you need a rest. You need Sabbath. And to take Sabbath now, usually we associate this with Sundays, but some people work on Sundays, right? So maybe they take other days, we hope. But a Sabbath is this day for rest. It's a day to step back from relentless production, from all these efforts we make to try to make the world we want the way we want it, or to try to make our lives the way we want them. No, sometimes we need to step back. We need to be reminded that God is doing so much more than we can do. And that in fact, our lives consist in what he's doing, much more than in what we're doing. Oh, we have our part, sure. But when we take Sabbath, when we take a rest, a whole day devoted to God, we see him at work. We can reflect, watch him move. So to rest, to take Sabbath is kind of an act of faith. Now, I start talking about Sabbath and how badly we need it, and that, well, if we're just working all the time, it makes us tired. We need to see God work. But for some of you, this reminds you of legalism, right? Because some of you grew up with some pretty intense Sabbath rules, right? And so Sundays you could do this and you couldn't do that, and if you did that, then you get yelled at, and da-da-da-da-da, on and on and on. And so now maybe you think, that wasn't quite right. But the thing is, errors, as C.S. Lewis would say, they always come in pairs. Mistakes about God stuff always come in pairs. Why? Because if evil can't get you to go off the cliff in one direction, maybe it can make you overcorrect and go the other way. Errors always come in pairs. Same with Sabbath. On the one hand, when we're talking about taking a day of rest, a day to worship God and to be with family, to watch God work, sometimes we can get too legalistic about that. Sometimes it's just about the rules and we forget that it's about God. On the other hand, sometimes we get too free. Sometimes we just say, we'll get our rest for an hour tomorrow. Or, I have to work on Sunday and I got to get to the grocery store Monday and bum, bum, bum. And before you know it, our days are so full, we don't take rest at all. That's a mistake too. Somewhere, the meaning of Sabbath and what God means to do through rest is in between. Neither one of those mistakes. And we can hear it in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. So you can turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 is where we'll start, but we're going to do this passage in two pieces. One for each of those errors that we can make when it comes to Sabbath, to Sunday rest. So that's on page 1555 in the Bibles there in the seats. Spanish up on screen as usual. So I'll be reading here Mark chapter 2, 23 to 28, and then we'll take a little pause. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God, he ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. And then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for human beings, not human beings for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Episode number one in Jesus' Sabbath teaching. They're out one day in the grain fields, and I don't know if you've ever been out in a grain field and just kind of popped a head of grain off, a wheat stack. It's really good. You pluck the kernels off, and it's a great snack. And that seems to be all that the disciples are doing at the moment. And it's kind of funny in the passage because it's like the Pharisees have been staking out the turf or something. Like, they're out in some field somewhere, and boop, up pop the Pharisees. Like, they're just waiting for something to happen. They knew they were going to be there that Sunday. They had it planned. "Jesus, you can't be doing that on Sabbath." Now, for Sabbath for the Jewish people, that's Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And the disciples, you know, they've just been having a snack and thinking nothing of it. But the Pharisees, well, they're pretty intense about keeping the rules. We know that, right? Well, it's also really about obeying God, because the Pharisees knew, and they were the teachers of the people, that God had said, 6 days you do your work, 6 days you labor, and on the seventh day rest. Don't do any work at all. And in fact, nobody even in your house is supposed to do any work. So if you have a maid servant or manservant or your animals, nobody, not even the animals, does any work on Sabbath. And so the Pharisees, trying to be the faithful people that they wanted to be, were trying to figure out, okay, so no work. What does that really come down to? Like, how many steps can you take on Sabbath before it's work? Or how many people can you have over before it's work? Well, certainly we know we have to do our cooking the day before. We can't cook on Sabbath. And so they had this long list of things you could do or couldn't do on Sabbath, because we can give them credit for this. They were interested in being faithful to God. All right. But then they have this run-in with Jesus. Run-in with Jesus. "Hey, the disciples are doing what's unlawful. That's against the rules, Jesus. You know what they are, Jesus. You've been around long enough, some 30 years or so." And then they start to sound what we call a little legalistic. Like, they're too focused on the rules and they've forgotten why the rules exist and what they're meant to do and what they're meant to be. You know, some of us have had that experience, as I alluded to before. Some of us have had different Sabbath rules, right? And I think I've asked you before, but I'll just ask you again. Okay, what were the things when you were growing up, some of you older folks, what couldn't you do on Sundays? What's that? Go out to eat. No going out to eat on Sundays, right? Yeah, that could be one, because then that would mean somebody else would have to work on Sunday, right? If it was fun, you couldn't do it. That covers a lot, doesn't it? Yeah. If it was fun, you couldn't do it.
You could play catch, but not run the bases.
Rita says you could play catch with a ball, but you couldn't run the bases. Right.
No shopping
on Sundays, right? Because somebody else would have to work. That's commerce on Sundays. We don't do that.
No TV
on Sundays, right?
No
what?
No
sewing
on Sundays.
Because that would be work, right? Yeah, we've had some of these experiences, right? Well, for me, I remember one particular Sunday, I had a limit on how much homework I could do on Sundays. And actually, I think that was probably a pretty good idea, because otherwise I would have just saved everything for Sunday, you know, and get home and, you know, go until midnight and then drag myself to school the next day. But there was one weekend where one of my classmates, Chris Koch, and I, we had a group project. We had to build a wigwam. And we had to do it out of mud and popsicle sticks, and this was going to be pretty cool, extensive diorama. But the thing is, he had a tennis tournament on Saturday, and there was no possible way for us to get this done. So we had to meet on Sunday afternoon for a couple hours. Well, I got chewed out pretty bad for that. I protested. Listen, this is a group project. I have to do this with Chris Koch. This is the only time when we could do this. I'm sorry. I know normally we don't do this, but chew, chew, chew. No, that did not go over very well at all. Sunday, Sabbath. We've experienced rules and maybe had some negative experiences where it's like the rules get kind of inflexible, right? Because sometimes there are human needs, or sometimes maybe having a little fun is okay. Yeah, maybe. Well, Jesus gets at this issue. He says to the Pharisees, hey, listen, let me tell you a story. You got to remember that there was this King David. He wasn't king yet. And he was on the run from the current king who wanted to kill him. And he was actually starving. And he went to the tabernacle of God and actually took the holy bread, which only the priests were supposed to eat. And David just received it, ate it, and he gave some to his buddies. Now, what's funny about this story, if you just stop to think about it for a moment, is like, well, wait a minute, Jesus. What does this have to do with you and the disciples having a snack in a grain field? Because your disciples aren't starving. And let's see, they're doing it on Sabbath, and David was just doing it. It doesn't say that he was doing it on Sabbath. So what's the point? The point is, human need sometimes takes priority over some of even God's rules. Why? Because what's the greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. Actually, no. Love God, love your Lord your God is the greatest commandment. The second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If those are the greatest commandments, sometimes they trump the lesser ones. Sometimes you have to make space to address human needs, even when you've got rules that are designed to make a day holy to God. The rules aren't designed to be inflexible. They're designed to keep us focused on God. But sometimes human need needs to be met. Human life has priority over the ritual rules. Well, fair enough. I think most people who've grown up in church, a lot of Christians, I think we sort of get this part. Okay, it's not really about legalism, this Sabbath stuff. We're to uphold life on Sundays. So you know what? You can't have friends over. That's a good thing to do on Sundays. All right, and sometimes that means you got to do a little cooking on the grill. Well, that's okay. That's fun, and that's good, and that's something that God honors. And you can not only bounce a ball, you might actually play a full game of wiffle ball on a Sunday, and that would be great to build community, right? And some of us, hey, fact is, some of us work on Sundays, right? Sometimes to hold a job, you just got to do that. Okay. But I wonder if in unlearning the error of legalism, of being too tight about Sabbath, we haven't fallen into the other error, the error of simply failing to practice Sabbath at all. I need, five volunteers. I need five volunteers. I know, you guys get nervous about volunteering here. You just never know. All right, come on up, Marty, Derek, okay, others. Okay, Corey, and I don't see whose hand that is, but whoever's hand of the Nieves is, that is, yeah. Tiffany, come on up, okay. I'll take Tiffany. Okay. Holly, you're, okay. Okay, so I'm going to give each one of you a little piece of paper, and I expect you to read this when I point at you. So just line up here. Whoops, excuse me, Tiffany. Okay, here we go. Okay, so just line up here in the front. Okay, so this would be like what modern life is like, okay? So I'm gonna point at you, and then you read your thing. But what's going to happen is I'm going to start pointing at more of you at one time. So here, I'm going to try to use the red mic so we can pick some of this up, but you're going to have to read loud and proud, all right? Okay, so here's why we need Sabbath. Ready?
Hi, honey. Did you get the kids to the game on time, or was it art class?
So if we move the meeting tonight to Wednesday, then he can attend the community forum on Tuesday. But then the supper has to move to Thursday. Wait, we were talking about the 26th or the 2nd.
Manager account, did you change your password? If you didn't, some unauthorized may be trying to access your bank. Send us your personal information or restore your account.
I have to be at the office at 2 p.m. for test results.
Ring, ring!
I have to be at the office at 2 p.m. for test results.
Ring, ring!
Hi, honey, did you get the kids to the game on time?
Manager account, did you change your...
Ring, ring!
So if we move the meeting tonight to Wednesday...
Ring, ring!
I have to be at the office at 2 p.m.
Manager account, did you...
change your password?
Both of you.
If you didn't, someone unauthorized may be trying to access your account.
If we move the meeting tonight to Wednesday, then...
Ring!
I have to be at the office.
Ring.
Manage your account.
Ring.
So you get the idea. This is real life, right? Right. Thank you all. Thank you for volunteering us. Having a good time. Yeah. You just put those there. And you can start to feel it, right? You can start to feel the blood pressures, like, just a little couple notches up, because some of this is just all too real for you. And you're like, I didn't come to church for this. You know, I came here for a little refuge. Oh, meep. We need Sabbath, says Beaker. Yeah, we do need sometimes an oasis from the pressure to go to the next thing, to produce the next work, to put in the next hour of whatever it is that's so important in our lives. We need Sabbath. Somehow we need to get away from busyness as a badge of honor. We need to get away from this idea that we're running our lives, because you're not. That's just pride. If everything depends on you, you've forgotten your faith. It doesn't depend on you, it depends on God. Sabbath reminds us of that. Meanwhile, we exist in this world full of control, full of the economy that has to keep churning when you buy things, and this society that's defined by constantly getting more. Oh, we need Sabbath. We need Sabbath. The costs of constant work are known. After 10 days, people get mental fatigue. If you work 10 days straight, you're going to be lower on the productivity scale. If you take regular rest, like a whole day, to not work and then go back to work, you're actually more productive. This is known, even in the secular world. Hello? There's a reason God said rest. He knows us. He made us, right? Oh, but we work because we have to support the family. We have to provide. Then again, isn't your family going to be better provided for if you're there rather than just sending your support from work? It's not just your relationships with family that will suffer. It's your relationship with God that will suffer if you don't take Sabbath, if you don't put a pause on the constant anxious production. And if you don't take Sabbath, you're going to end up like this Dilbert cartoon. Wally is talking to Asok, the intern. Wally says, "The secret to having a rewarding work-life balance is to have no life." Uh-huh. "Then it's easy to keep things balanced by doing no work." Asok says, "Oh, it's so simple and yet so genius." Wally, "It was hiding in plain sight." That's life without Sabbath. You have no life, and yet you feel like you're not getting anywhere because you're not really doing any work either. And you're certainly not recognizing that God is at work around you and through you and in you. You're not letting go of your life long enough to recognize that He's already at work and doing so much more than you ever could. So we need to be careful of this error of not resting. We need to remember that God gave us Sabbath as a gift. It's here in Mark again. Here in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, 1 through 6. Second episode. "Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there." Well, some of them there in the synagogue were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with a shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "What's lawful to do on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Who knew that Sabbath could be such a touchy subject? Well, the truth is that here Jesus is actually going right with the teachers of the law. They knew that it was more lawful to give life than to take it, to do good than to do evil. They'd settled this for a long time. Jesus was simply showing them what it meant again. Well, and he was showing them something more. Because, of course, who has the power to heal? Really? Here's a man with a withered hand. He'd been in church, basically, many times. His hand was always withered, never functioned, never really worked. And Jesus says on Sabbath, I can do something about that. I can heal you. You and I are here together, and there's nothing, man with a withered hand, there is nothing that you have to do. I will heal you, all on my own authority, because Jesus is basically saying, I'm in charge here. The implication is very clear to the Pharisees. Jesus has been pushing them on this, and he'll continue to do so. He's saying, yeah, I know you got your rules, but guess what? I made them. I made the rules. So I can decide what they mean, when to apply them, and moreover, I have the power to heal. Jesus is very clearly implying, quite simply, that he's God. He's God. And that the healing that takes place in church on that Sabbath, this man with the withered hand, is God's provision for his people, who don't need to do anything else to get God's provision. They don't have to earn it. There's nothing, no work they have to do. They just have to be there in the presence of God, and God will do his work in them. And then ironically, the Pharisees go out and decide, hey, let's try to kill Jesus on Sabbath. Do you accept Jesus' ability to give life to you on the Sabbath? Now, it doesn't, again, have to be Sunday specifically. Some of us work on Sundays. But are you taking a day? Are you really taking a day to let go of all the stuff you think you got to do all the time? And recognize that God is going to take care of some of those things for you. God is going to do a work in you when you rest and trust him well enough. Your life is not going to fall apart if you don't do it all the time, 24/7. Well, you need faith. You need faith to let go of life just enough to let God. Sometimes we need that. And you need faith, not just in rules, but you need faith in Jesus who can heal through rest. Because your life is not the sum of what you do, but what God is doing in you. And that, hey, if later today you take a nap or you read a book just because you want to, how about that? Imagine that, right? Reading a book just because you want to. Or maybe you have a very holy day of doing absolutely nothing. That's a good thing. Because it's there. When you do it to remember that God is providing for you, it's there that God does provide for you. It's there that he meets you in your needs. He meets you in your human limitations, in the amount that you can't work every week, and says, I will take care of this. I will take care of your family. I will take care of your income. I will take care of all these things that you think have to be done right now. You know what? Why don't you just rest and trust me? Why not take a Sabbath? So what can you do? What can you do? Well, certainly, all of you, if you want to follow Jesus, take space. Take a day every single week to do not work, and you know what? Not even housework. Yeah, I know the laundry's waiting, and I know that the dishes got to... Let it go. Let it go. Take a day to rest. You need it. It's God's gift to you. And on that day of rest, let me suggest to you that perhaps you stay off the devices. Because you know what? The messages can wait too. Sometimes it's really important to experience a little bit of quiet. Because God doesn't usually yell in our lives. He usually whispers. Maybe take some time to do some exercising just because it's good for you. And on that day of rest, don't use your car. Walk, bike, do something simple. Something that doesn't have to produce anything just because it's good. Or maybe read, bake, watch a movie. Do some self-care. Take a bath with some nice salts and candles around it. I don't know. Whatever it is that you got to do. But understand, Christians, when you do those things, you're making more room for God in your life by making less room for all the stuff you think you have to do. That's an act of faith. It's an act of faith to take Sabbath. And resist that temptation to do the house project because you know if you go to Ace once to get just that one little part, it'll be the wrong one. You'll have to go back and get the other one, and then you'll have to go back again to get the third one that you forgot. Leave the house project aside. Just let it go. Rest. And you know what? Do the holy thing of just letting life pass you by. It's okay. The economy's going to do its own thing without you. God's going to do his own good things without you having to do anything. Or do the intangible. Write a letter by hand to a loved one. Or call your mother just because. Just because. Because you can take rest. You can take the time. And it's going to be okay. And it's God's gift to you to restore life in you and to you. As Jesus and the Word say elsewhere, you don't live by bread alone. You don't live by all that you do. You live by what God does. So take rest. I hope you have a chance to enjoy it today. And if it's not today for you, make it a different day and see what God will do in you. Amen. Lord God, there's so much we have to do. We've got our lists, we've got our pressures, we've got our anxieties, and yet we come to you to be reminded that you have all this in your hands. That sometimes when we don't, we can see that you do. When we rest and let go of our workaholism, when we let go of our pride in creating life the way it's meant to be, or even our role that's so important in our organization, or our work or job, that we see that your role in our organization and our families is so much more important. And it means so much more, and it creates so much more. That the Sabbath was given to us by you, was made for us, so that we could refresh, so that we could renew our life and be drawn ever more to you. Lord, I ask that you heal us who need the rest. Help us to take it in Jesus' name, because life isn't going to give it to us. But when we take it, to look to you to provide all that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.